I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
One is Mark and John, the co-hosts. They're alive, they are not ghosts. It's Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams. It's a nightmare, not a dream. Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams.
Hello.
Welcome to Duo Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited for our guest this week. Please introduce everybody to our guest.
A true multi-hyphenate. He's an actor, writer, comedian. You know him from the podcast Who Shot Ya, Nerdificent, Candy Dinner, and he's all over Twitch. It's Iffy Nwadawe.
Hey. Yeah.
Wow.
That was a song by Outkast.
You know, shake it like a Polaroid picture. Right, that's right, what they don't do. Kids today have no idea what they're talking about unless they go to Urban Outfitters. They sell Polaroid cameras there.
Oh, yeah. They sell the, and well, they're not even Polaroid. They're usually the Intax, the Fujifilm Intax.
That's not the
which
same.
I do have it.
Okay.
I am a hipster as well.
One of the kids today.
You take it out, you take pictures of girls in flower crowns and sunset. And so.
I know. I like that we're in the era where, like, because I'm real into photography, but I like taking pictures of like buildings and, you know, landscapes. And so when I, you know, started picking it back up again, I had to be like, I'm not trying to half naked girls. Like, I'm not that guy. I want I want half naked buildings, half naked plants. Did y'all get in the plants yet? Have y'all got any plants in your place?
No.
We have three tiny succulents that always look like they're on the verge of death. That's it. We're not good at it.
I love succulents. I do have succulents that they never die, which is great, but I always forget to water. I'm not helping them.
That's my first. That's going to be my first step into plant daddom, is getting a succulent. And I'm going to work my way up to a nice, good fern.
You know what? Just go get one from like Trader Joe's or Home Depot, because there's a place in Frogtown that's like a 5-minute walk from here. It's like gentrification plant store where you'll pay $100 for a plant they probably bought for $3, but it's in like, you know, a minimalist pot, which what pot isn't minimalist? Thank you very much.
There are some maximalist pots.
That's true. Iffy, it's kind of tied into the movie we're going to talk about, but have you ever had like a bad trip?
Oh man, I haven't... It's interesting because I haven't had a bad trip to where it was scary, but I had a bad trip to where I looked inward and didn't like what I saw and got very, you know, and you start to get self-conscious and you start to worry about it. Like, it was right in that like nice middle point before I started making money doing comedy. And it was like the midpoint between quitting like my daytime job and now, and you just, that unsurety hit all at once, and I was like staring in the mirror crying like, am I gonna make it?
Oh, no.
Is this gonna be anything? Am I a fool? But in the end, you still feel good after those. So I never call it a bad trip, because that's just shit you had to deal with that you just were choosing not to. That shrooms were like, psych.
It's time.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I've never done shrooms because I could, I don't know. I get like, sometimes I'll just from marijuana get like too freaked out. Like I was one time by myself watching The Shining. And like, I'm not a religious or spiritual person, but watching it, I was convinced like, oh my God, evil exists. Like I felt like true evil exists. And then like, I remember calling out to God, if you're here, prove it. Nothing happened.
Man. He doesn't like that.
He didn't like it. And then I went and threw up in the toilet and my vomit splashed back in my face.
Oh no.
Wow. So, I think that was your sign.
Yeah. That.
Absolutely.
Oh man. Yeah. That sounds like the worst combination of events.
Yeah, but love The Shining. Mm.
Still a great movie. Still
a great movie.
Fun enough, I've seen Dr. Sleep, haven't seen The Shining.
I had a good time with Dr. Sleep.
Yeah, because I was doing like a BuzzFeed video, and so they sent us to the premiere.
Screening.
Hopefully the statute of limitations went by and they don't, they're like, you said you did like this. but yeah, I didn't see it yet. I mean, listen, I love the aesthetic. I wasn't in, and then I watched Dr. Sleep and I loved it. And then I went home and I was like, I got to watch The Shining. And they did that thing where they take it off of all the streaming platforms.
Oh no.
It's in theaters. Oh no. And I was like, so I still haven't seen it yet. So I'll probably
try. Were trying to get you to watch the TV version.
Yeah.
With Steven Weber. Don't fall
have you for. Seen have you seen Ready Player One? That also has The Shining in it.
Oh, no, I have not seen Ready
You're
Player
not missing
One.
Anything.
No, that's why. Like, because Ready Player One seemed like it would be my vibe, and then everyone's like, no, bro.
It's garbage.
Nope.
Yeah. Do not waste your time.
John, have you had a bad trip? You were a drug head.
Yes, I was a drug head. Thank you, Mark. I did mostly a lot of tripping in college. I never tripped that much in New York City, because for me, I think ideally it's all about like being in nature and laying outside. Like one time when I was at Bard, a bunch of us, we were theater majors. We had a boombox and we were listening to Hair, and we were just like, there's like Bard is like right in like on top of a forest. We were just like dancing through the forest and literally came upon a bonfire that some other people had started but left. So it was just like,
oh my God,
the universe just gave us this bonfire. We just like sang and danced around it. So I did a lot of drugs back then. The last time I did drugs, it was like those kind of drugs. I just felt gross. And I ended up like staying inside, which I never liked doing, and watching Madonna videos. So like that was my way.
Typical
out of it.
Saturday. For
exactly.
You.
Yeah.
Well, I brought up bad trips because they're kicking off our Five Cold Screams, which is our month of horror movies. And the first one we're going to talk about that you brought in, Iffy, is Midsommar. John, yes. What's the deal with Midsommar?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Midsommar. It was written and directed by Ari Aster. It stars Florence Pugh, Jack Rayner, William Jackson Harper, Wilhelm Blumgreen, Alora Torsha, Archie Madikwe, and Billy Poulter. It follows a group of friends who travel to Sweden for a festival that occurs once every 90 years, only to find themselves in the clutches of a pagan cult. I hate when that happens. It was released on July 3rd, 2019 by A24, and it grossed $47 million and received positive reviews from critics, many praising Aster's direction and Pugh's performance. And that is the deal with Midsommar.
So Iffy, we asked you to bring in a horror movie. Why Midsommar?
Because typically in general, I am not a huge fan of horror movies. Not that I dislike them. I just am a scaredy cat. A big clarification I need to make. Because there are people who are like, I don't like horror movies. I'm like, oh, you're weird. But I typically just, I just hate being scared. And like, I don't, so I won't push myself to do it. But I will say I'm growing and I've been watching more and more. And Ari Aster, I've really kind of enjoyed his horror movies, specifically because he's been really good at like not doing jump scares. Cause that's what really gets me about horror movies, or jump scares. Like you get in those and it's like, ugh, you know, I don't need that. If like, just give me a, you know,
you don't need that spike.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and so I first saw Hereditary, which, you know, and we did the whole thing. I mean, that movie I watched through squinted eyes in dark rooms. Like that was a rough one, but that's when I kind of first got the taste of his dread, because like I was, my eyes were squinted the whole time because I was waiting for the scary thing to happen.
Right.
Really nothing scary happens until the last small portion of the movie, and they do a real good job of letting you know it's about to happen with the silence and the violin noises.
Yeah.
So Midsommar, I kind of wanted to watch too, because I love like world building. I love when you can create this interesting, you know, craft this interesting world of what's going on. And I typically like, you know, the trope of like getting wrapped up in a cult or getting wrapped up in a fish out of water situation. So I decided to give Midsommar a try. And yeah, the only kind of thing close to the jumpy scares for all the scary cat who might be listening and wondering is like when Chidi goes into the book room and someone comes up behind him and gets him, but it's less over jump score, more of an action moment, I would say.
True.
So
I think it's definitely a jump scare that you are sort of braced for.
Yeah. It's definitely
it's not truly like, out of nowhere. You're like, something's going to happen.
But you just kind of like living. And this one was a movie that I didn't squint through. This was one because I wanted to take it all in, because they're this cult is so interesting, this fake cult, and like all the different parts, and you kind of know it's going to go south, so you're almost drawn in and into like the slow build of it all. So it was great. After watching that was kind of solidified my love for Ari Aster, because I also watched his short The Thing About the Johnsons. Let me get the right name for it for anyone who would who would get into it. The Strange Thing about the Johnsons.
That makes more sense for me.
Yeah. And that one was really great, because it's just kind of like it's less horror and more suspense, kind of weirdy. Yeah, it's you know, Google's qualifying it as a indie drama, you know. And it's so, like, I'm probably gonna watch it again after this, but it caused so much drama because like it's this black family that's going through this situation. I don't want to spoil anything, so I'll say situation. And they're like, oh, why would you do the black family? And for the first time ever, I heard someone say, we just picked the best actors for the role, and it wasn't exclusionary to people of color. It was actually used to support people of color. That is something that's usually used to explain why you whitewashed a character. But instead, all right, and like that alone was like, okay, he's Ari, you're good in my book. So,
well, it sounds like you're a big Ari Aster head.
Yeah, I'm deep in the Aster verse.
John, what's your history with Midsommar?
I mean, I saw it last year when it came out and thought it was great. This is only the second time I've seen it, though.
Did you think it was great, John? That is not my memory.
Truth comes out. The truth comes out.
No, I was trying to remember this because I know that there was a set. Here's what I think the differences that we had was a lot of people were like, when it came to the boyfriend, Jack Rayner, Christian, people were like, good for him. He got what he deserved. And my sense and my feeling was always like, no, he didn't. Yeah, he was a putz, but he didn't do anything so bad that you're like, you deserve to get burned alive in a bear costume. And so I think where we differed and argue was not in the quality of the movie, but just whether someone got their comeuppance or if justice was served at the end of this movie.
So you like Midsommar is what I'm hearing.
I do like Midsommar. How about you, Mark? What's your history with Midsommar?
Well, I loved Hereditary. I ended up seeing it in theaters like 4 times. Well, 2 of those times were because I promised 2 different people I'd see it in the theater with them, and then I couldn't coordinate at the same time. Anyway, so I loved Hereditary. So I saw Midsommar, like, really high expectations. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, it didn't hit me like Hereditary. It was my first initial thought. But then I didn't stop thinking about it for months. Like, some of the images in this movie are just, like, they sear into your brain. So in the end, so last time I watched it, I also got the director's cut from A24, not to brag. The 3-hour version is what I watched yesterday.
Wow.
Which makes
How was it?
It's good. It's nothing like radically. I see why they cut out the stuff, but it does just also make Christian look even more like a putz. There's another scene where he gaslights Danny and all that stuff. Gotcha. So I think it's incredible, and I will at this point watch anything Ari Aster does. So Iffy, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. So we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge these movies. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. Okay. And we're all going to give, for the first group of categories, we're all going to score 0 to 100. Then we take the average. And then at a certain point, you are going to add a category and it will be added to the wheel. Which is a thing you'll understand when we get to it. So you got to add a category at some point that we could use to judge Midsommar and future movies to see how gay they are.
Okay.
But this is our current, I'm just going to give you our current top five horror movies for the gayest. These are our gayest horror movies so far.
Okay.
So with a 50.78%, Berserk, which is this Joan Crawford movie. I didn't care for it. John liked it. Next, 51.85%, Sleepaway Camp, 53.32%, Scream, 64.92%, Ginger Snaps, and our highest rated horror movie, just not counting Little Shop of Horror, it's not truly a horror movie, is with a 71.84% Interview with the Vampire.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
So if you had a guess, where do you think Midsommar is going to end up before we actually start scoring?
I mean, like, I feel like this is going to be a low ranking one. I did not know that coming in. I would have tried to find a gayer movie. But this is a movie that centers around heterosexual problems.
How dare you?
100%. I was going to say relationships, just heterosexual problems in general. Just
right. Well, let's find out. So this is our first group of categories are the canon categories. So these are the essential categories. So the first category, on a scale of 0 to 100, how would you rate Midsommar for actual gay characters?
Ooh.
I don't think there's anybody gay in this.
Oh, John maybe the has guy, made a motion.
Yeah, I didn't.
Go ahead.
Like, your thoughts.
Well, I mean, I was trying to be like, I mean, we're in a cult, so there's always guts. There's always some weird, you know, like shenanigans going down.
Yeah.
I'm sure like some of the women, especially like in that big like ladies, like,
oh yeah, that definitely
an orgy, but that like sort of fuck circle. I'm sure there was like some sort of like same sex sexual energy happening there. But yeah, there's no one.
This is one of the few also matriarchal cults. Like normally cults we see are patriarchal. But I didn't. Maybe the guy who was so upset when the one kid, Will Poulter, peed on the tree, the ancestral tree. Maybe like he seems a little fussy.
Yeah.
Right. And also, like, wasn't he one of the two in the barn at the very end?
He did.
Didn't he sort
chose.
Of make eyes at the other one?
Well, I don't think that was a necessarily a romantic moment, but more like, well, we're both decided to die together.
Yeah, but I mean, at that moment, you might as well be like, well, are we going to
so
do
you would
this?
Give him points for being a flaming queen.
Sure. Why not? But yeah, but we're really stretching to go
we
there.
Are
but
really
I think that's kind of where we're at for that. So do you want me to go first for a scale of 1 to 10?
0 to 100.
Or excuse me, 0 to 100? I'll give it 10 for that, just because I feel like there's got to be some, something's going on there. If this was a mini series, we'd have learned some more.
Yeah, there's really, I'm going to give it a 5 out of 100. Pretty low. Iffy, what are you going to give Midsommar for actual gay characters?
Yeah, I literally have pissed. Picked up the cast looking through and I will say, oh man, if it weren't for, you know, for Mark's death, where he's going to try and bang a lady, he would have been my pick as a man, because Will Poulter, you know, looking good, you know.
Is that more wishful thinking on your part?
But yeah, I think I have to, in my heart of hearts, give it a 0 on there.
Fair enough.
Like, yeah. Just no look. Almost because it feels like this cult feels like a cult that would punish you for being gay.
Right. I mean, like, there's very few, I think, pro-gay religious cults.
Yeah, like, because this one is, you know, no angry letters for this one. But this one is, like, feels like walking on that Mormon line, because it's all about procreating. Like, you have to. And it's this image of the deformed child, and I need to get off this page. It's making me feel weird.
Yeah. I guess the only gay cult would be like Britney Spears fans, maybe.
Sure.
Sure. Work the World Tour.
Yeah, work the world.
All right. Our next category, on a scale of 0 to 100, what would you give Midsommar for drag queen inspiration? Could a drag queen watch Midsommar and come up with a whole book of ideas?
Oh, man.
I think so. There's a lot of looks in this movie.
The flower crowns alone, the dance scene, I could see a full like camp dance number based off of that weird folk dance number. That would be way better than the actual movie, to be honest.
Disco beat underneath them, sure.
You know, I'd love to see, what is it called? The Blood Eagle, like, you know, some good Blood Eagle inspired
sure, with some outfits outside of themselves.
Yeah.
Also, there's something, I do think there's at least like five distinct things, looks you could pull from this that you know would be from it. So you got the bear suit. Yeah, obviously there's also the look of the sister with the hose duct taped to her face. That could be a look.
Okay,
I mean the guy with the fringe mask, tree branch arms, all those gold robes at the end. Those all feel and finally that giant flower dress robe consuming thing.
Yeah,
I agree, but I still think they all, the looks all sort of feel like the same world. It's not like there's a lot of totally varied looks, but I do think there's a lot. But I did also in my Googling found that someone edited together footage from the movie of the old people falling and jumping with RuPaul's Drag Race judges reacting to stuff, and it was very funny. So that sort of inspired
Drag Queens. Death drop.
Exactly. Yes, people like losing their minds on that. So I want to give it some points for that. I want to give a
shout
out. So you're
saying the movie should have created different worlds?
I'm not saying they should have. I'm just saying like, because like all, it's like all from the same cult. It's not like there's the cult look, there's the nightclub look, there's the like, you know, like rodeo look. It's all sort of like in the, within the same world.
Well, the one guy had the fringe mask, like Orville Peck. That's a rodeo look.
Yeah. True. That's right. All right. So you're right. I stand corrected.
I don't know. I think there's a iffy. Do you want us to go first, or do you want to go? Are you more comfortable? It's up to you.
Yeah. I can go first on this one.
Right.
You know, I've been doing all the research.
That's right.
Yeah. For this one, for me, I would say, and all these are based in the bottle of time that we're in now.
Sure. Absolutely. Understood. Yeah.
I would definitely give it an 80 on that.
80.
One. Yeah. Okay. Because I feel like Midsommar is very on the pop culture zeitgeist right now. So not only would it be like a fun, you know, adventure coming up with, you know, outfits for this, but you would do it and people would be like, oh, they're doing the Midsommar.
Right?
Yeah.
That'd be a great, like a drag brunch, you know, outside.
Yeah. Also,
I do think, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to say, also, I have, like, friends who do, like, monster drag. Have you heard of it? And so, like, seeing that, I was like, oh, and there's even more you can go when you do the monster drag stuff. So there's just element in different drag subcultures, too. I think the versatility in that.
Absolutely. John, what are you going to give it?
I'll give it a 73.
73, ooh, higher than I thought you were going to do. I think I'm also going to go 80. I think there's a lot in here. I think it's a hoot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm locked in.
All right. Our next category on a scale of 0 to 100, gay icons. How would you rate the gay icons of Midsommar? Are there any gay icons? I would say I had a few.
Okay.
I do think there is something. There is A24, the production company, is kind of... It's not Cher by any means, but I do think they do have like a fandom around them. And I think they do have a lot of gay fans. There's even like an A24 aesthetic to everything.
Okay. So I think would you say like their gayest movie as a, like, do they themselves have movies that are like, oh, that's a gay movie?
I don't know off the top of my head, probably. I don't know. But I do think they are like one of the, like, they're like the cool movie studio right now.
Sure.
Do we think Florence Pugh is a gay icon?
I think she's like doing the ascendant work, but I think like early. she's not there yet. A lot could happen. She could be like a tragic gay icon. She could be like a more like,
well, let's hope not.
I don't wish that upon her, but like she's like, she's building the resume.
Yeah.
What about the woman who pushes on Christian's butt in the sex scene? gay icon?
I mean, when you call her the woman who did something and then just list what she did.
Have you forgotten that, woman?
I have not forgotten that woman, but it's like, if we don't know her name, if all
Why do you need to know her name?
Well, to be an icon, I think it's an icon, yes.
Clint Eastwood, the man with no name, he was an icon, is he not? We don't know his name.
But you refer to him as Clint Eastwood.
Well, she's done one movie.
Okay. So I'm saying she had a great moment, but I wouldn't call it iconic. Or like, does that make her an icon?
I think that moment is
pretty iconic. It's an iconic moment, but is she an icon?
She has a cute smile afterwards.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Interesting. You could throw some points for that.
I'm just thinking. Do you have anything strike you as gay icons, Iffy?
No, don't. Like I said, this is very heterosexual. The whole,
yes. Not even Will Poulter.
Poulter, because he was trying so hard to bang someone. Like all the men, except for the one black dude, wanted so hard to try and fuck another woman, and all the black dude wanted was good grades, and he
yes.
punished.
Well, is it possible that William Jackson Harper's character was gay?
That was going to be my guess, because he was the only one so not interested in any of the like weird sex flaunting in front of him. But then, you know, yeah.
But he was also like a jerk. Like he also wasn't like cool to Danny. You know what I mean? He was like very dismissive and rude.
Oh yeah, these were I think, and here's why I think everyone sided with Florence, John, is because we had this movie where every male opposite the woman was just gaslighting her the whole time. And so every woman who watched it was like, oh yeah, let them burn, literally. Yeah. Because it was real weird. It was like, not weird, but it was like very interesting when like all of them were like, oh, she's just tripping again. And also like the energy of the one who was part of the cult was such like that premium fuckboy snake friend energy of being like,
oh yeah,
they all crazy. Look, I yes. have back. Do you need anything? I'm like, oh, look, you're just trying to get in her ass too. Like, you ain't better. In the end, she is not well off. She's gonna end up fucking that guy who doesn't really care about her. You know?
But she's got her sisterhood.
Sure. Yeah,
she has her. She had her emotions validated,
and now she can't wait to push on another man's butt to bang one of them. Like, who trades that off? Who gets the duty of pushing the butt?
I mean, the booty duty?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like you have to, maybe that's a the seniority. Highest beat. Yeah, she's been there for long. She's put in the time. She knows the rhythms.
Also, I feel like that
I'm jumping off a cliff next year. I'm touching some booty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like when you join that cult, like in your it's definitely a 20s thing where you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna live forever, sure. Oh yeah, I have to die when I'm old, good, I'm gonna want to die. And then those days coming up to your when you're old, you're like, ah, shit, I didn't think this out.
Oh, I should have gone to Florida off
onto a rock. And then they're gonna crunch my head. Oh,
why did he go feet first, that idiot? Yeah.
I know. I feel like that's like a last second. No.
Like, oh, think this through. No. So what do you want to give Midsommar for gay icons, Iffy?
Give zero. No,
zero.
Yeah. For a title such as Gay Icons, it needs to be someone who I'm like, boom, boom. Like if we were doing Color Out of Space, I'd probably say Nick Cage just because of that outfit he wore to the premiere.
I do not know if he's a gay icon, though. He's an icon, but I don't know if I say he's a gay icon.
All right, well, I'm going to show you this outfit, and I want your thoughts.
I'm sure it's crazy. It's probably like purple snakeskin or something. It's Nicolas Cage. John, what are you going to give it for a gay icon?
I'll give it a 10 for the potential of Pew.
For the Pew potential? I'm going to give it a 5 for gay icon. All right, the next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form? Well, we do see.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
we see all of it.
That sex scene was, you could tell it was Ari Aster not trying to do like the thing where it's like just only looking at the lady banging. Like you get a lot of ass, a lot of his gyrations in that, you know.
Mostly his ass. You see actual penis twice.
Yeah. You don't really get to see that.
I just looked at the photo you sent. He definitely looks like some sort of cruising in Vegas. kind of look. I'll share it with our on our social media.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. People will enjoy it.
People will enjoy it. I mean, you do. As also, I read the actor Jack Raynor, it was his decision to go full frontal. It was not in the script.
Really?
But he said in these horror movies, you always see like the last, you know, the final girl.
Yeah.
He always ends up, they always end up like their top off naked. It's such a trope of horror movies to have like a victim running around with the top. So it's only fair that he does the same.
Oh yeah. I love
But also if you look like him, is this
that was my body. I'd be like, you know what? Let's get someone professionally to record this for all time.
Yeah, yeah. I know. That's the thing is like, you have to be so confident in your dick to be like, I just had to, you know, and to be fair. Right. Show my
because I'm
dick.
Such a good guy.
Yeah,
it was not a problem.
No, no.
And I don't think anybody was complaining.
Oh yeah,
I can't imagine.
There are also a lot of males gazing in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people looking up at a cliff. A lot of scenes of that.
I will say, even though like I don't think overall the camera was like horny for the dudes, like I don't think it like really. But Jack Raynor's t-shirts did always fit very well. Like even in the scenes when he was wearing clothes, like his t-shirts were always like perfect. So I'm like, if it wasn't the camera, at least the wardrobe person was very much looking out.
You don't think he was kind of like slouching through some of like his posture was like kind of like.
I think it was like, it was a misdirect. I think it really was.
I see.
It looked hotter than you thought it would be, which made it even hotter, but it was actually hot.
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about.
So what do you want to give Midsommar for the male gaze?
I'd say I was with that good plump round ass.
A lot of ass.
You know, I was gonna rank it pretty high, but the fact that he was so horny for that to happen to him, I gotta take it back. You know, because now you've taken the power.
It's almost
from
like
the gaze.
A Louis C.K. situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. you've thrown it on us. We didn't go for it. So I'm gonna say 35.
35.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 60.
60. Pretty good. Yeah, I'm going to go 65 just because it's so rare to actually see penis in a movie.
Oh yeah.
Actual real live penis. All right. Next category. Entrances with pizzazz. What would you rate Midsommar's entrances with pizzazz?
Ooh.
Well, there are also the opening image of the movie is that mural that tells you the entire story of the movie.
Yeah,
that's the very first shot of the movie.
Oh, 100%.
I do think the prologue itself is pretty incredible, like before the opening credits start.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Kind of setting the table for the movie itself. The commune has a great entry. When we see that for the first time.
Like with that old couple when they first come to dinner, that's very like ceremonial.
Yes.
There's sort of like a sort of culty pizzazz there.
There's a lot of people being carried in wagons, on platforms.
Mm-hmm.
The room where Christian has sex when he enters that room, that's a very striking image. If you were to enter a room
that's
with
true.
15 naked ladies standing in a semicircle, you're like, well, this also is Harold practice?
No. Yeah. when she is presented after winning the contest with her nice crown and carried in, that was
right.
Nice.
That's true. They love a ceremonial traipsing.
There's so much traipsing in this movie.
Oh, yeah. So much.
But beyond that, this is not Beetlejuice. This is not Edward Scissorhands.
Right.
This is not boom. This
Chicago.
Is very,
right.
Yeah.
Somehow, like the clinical remove of the cameras, like makes it all the more creepier. You know.
Yes, I agree.
So, what do you want? What would you give Midsommar for entrances with pizzazz?
I'm gonna go 65.
65, pretty high.
65, yeah.
I'm gonna go 60 for all the ceremony and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like there's something about that to it.
I'm gonna go 70. I think these are some pretty iconic. I would love to be carried on a platform.
Sure.
Probably works your core. All right, next category. I might do very well on this. Strident women. This movie have some strident women in it.
I mean, Gunnel Fred. I mean, she was amazing.
Who?
Gunnel Fred. She played Siv. She was like the old woman.
Oh, the grandmother. Like they call her grandmother. There's that one woman when the two like the English tourists like freak out after the jumping. There's a shot of a woman in the foreground, like kind of shrugging.
Yeah.
Like, what is her problem? Like, they just jumped off a cliff. What's the big deal? God, I loved her.
She was great.
I love grandmother making a case for the ritual suicides.
Yeah.
I mean, all the women that just fuck with Christian, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
And is the butt pusher, she's pretty strident. She's literally telling him how to have sex.
Do it.
Yeah.
And then Danny at the end, I mean.
And there's, what's her name, who puts her pubes in Christian's yes. food?
For the love potion? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's pretty strident right there.
Oh, yeah.
She's going after what she wants.
But does she have to go about it that way? Is that the way to go about it?
That's the way she knew. Is that so different than like Tinder?
Yes, it is very different.
Where you present a different image of yourself?
I putting a pube in someone's food is not presenting a different image of yourself.
So what do you think? Are any other strident women?
I think Connie was a little strident too. She was the other female.
When they're saying that, boyfriend left without you.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That is so fucked up. Mm. So about that scene is so stressful to me. Like, just the idea of being left on vacation in a weird commune somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would we give Midsommar for strident women?
Let me see.
It's a big question.
I guess for me, my pick.
Yes.
My number.
Yes.
Gotcha.
The number I will award this film.
Okay.
Can't wait.
Is going to have to come out to a number known as.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give it a 40.
40.
40.
Give it a 40.
I'm going to go a lot higher because I just think Gunnel Fred, again, as Siv, was just so great.
Yes.
I'm going to go 83.
Ooh. I'm going to go 90 because throwing yourself off a cliff on your own terms, pretty strident. All right, you're going to make up a lot of points here, I think. Macabre, on a scale of 0 to 100, how macabre is Midsommar? I think it's very macabre.
Yeah. It's very macabre.
Oh, yeah. Probably the big macabre energy.
And I think all the creepier because it's so bright.
Yeah.
Because it's like everyone's wearing white. There's so much sunlight. It's not like.
It looks cheerful.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like if they allowed Instagram, people would be blowing it up.
Oh, my God.
They'd want to be posing everything. Oh, there's some gore. See a lot of smashed faces.
Yeah.
We literally see a man's head get crunched by a giant mallet so unceremoniously you might miss it if like it's not even an event that they're going to bop his head to crunch him, kill him. Like it's just like boop, and it's and we've mentioned the blood eagle, we've mentioned the deformed child,
Florence Pugh has that weird nightmare that's very macabre.
I mean, just the opening itself.
Yeah, seeing her sister. Parents, the design of people who died of carbon monoxide poisoning is so much to take in. Like, that still sits with me.
And also the fact that you saw them earlier, but you didn't know they were dead in that moment.
Yes.
It's very creepy. I think this is one of the most macabre movies I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, also gaslighting is pretty fucking macabre, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking menstrual fluid seems pretty macabre.
Oh, yeah.
Burning people alive. Eating, sacrificing people.
Wearing Christian skin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, watching people burn alive, too. It's not like it cuts away. We see the man start to burn. And then I think the man screaming while he burns is less chilling than watching the bear suit burning, knowing that he is drugged so that he can't
that he's alive while it's happening.
Yeah, like he you know he's in pain, but he has no way of screaming or anything. He has to just feel that pain in
silence. His emotions are denied, just like he denied Danny's emotions. So he got what was coming. He had it coming. You're fine with Chicago. You're fine with Chicago saying that he had it coming. But
wait, no, but you're saying he denied her emotions. How did he deny her emotions?
He gaslit her. He's a gaslighter all the time. You don't think he gaslit her ever?
Where do you think he gaslit her? And that, like, yes, you should come to this party with us.
Yeah, and the whole thing.
I think
thing,
it was like no, it was someone. He should have broken up with her a while ago. This crazy insane thing happened to her, and he just handled
it poorly.
Not.
He definitely did handle it very poorly.
But I don't think he deserved to be burned alive.
But when you're in the horror movie, those are the stakes. I mean, if he didn't die at the end of this movie, I don't think we'd be talking about it. You know what I mean? If she didn't choose to have him die, I don't think this wouldn't be. If they escaped at the end, who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think she had to choose her. She had to, you know, get empowered and to choose, like, no, fuck this fucker.
But she didn't choose, though, because they said that thing. They said, you're drugged. You can't respond or do anything.
No, she said she could choose him or the guy who won the lottery to die. Yeah. She chose him.
Yeah.
How did she choose him? I don't remember because
it was
at the very end.
She has the choice of the last person who was going to be burned because they're burning all their friends.
You had to do nine.
And it could either be, it was either going to be her boyfriend or someone from the commune who would do it. My only question is, like, so in the world that she was like, all right, you fucked up. You can say, does he get to leave or is he stuck in the commune?
They might like be they never I don't that. Know right I don't know if she had chosen someone else,
but I was thinking about it, you know, just looking this over and going through it. If there was the world where he did the quote-unquote right thing, broke up with her, mm-hmm. and then went to the trip and he died, then that probably would have just been another loss for her. She would have just, you know, she right. you know, she would have just thought he died and went. Instead, she got to be there, a part of his death, and it will not affect her.
And she had the great smile. It's one of the only times she smiles in the movie. She smiles when she first gets to the commune. She goes like, huh. And then at the very end, she has a beatific smile. So, Iffy, what would you give Midsommar on a scale of 0 to 100 for Macabre?
Oh, I'm giving it the 100.
100.
For the full 100.
I will give it 100 as well.
I am also going to give it 100. Giving it 100, tying it with the Silence of the Lambs.
Ooh.
And kicking the teeth in of Mermaids, which only has a 57 in Macabre. All right, our next category, dramatic lighting. How dramatic is the lighting in Midsommar?
Well, for the most part, it's very bright.
Yeah.
So, like, there's not, like, a lot of...
But don't you think that adds
drama.
To the drama?
Yes, absolutely. But I was going to say, the only time where you feel like you, to me, where I like noticed like, oh, this lighting is like creating a mood specifically, was like when they were in that chamber with like the ancient texts, like that had like the lighting on the podium where the book was and like shadows around it. So that was like very like, it was very like Super Frenzy kind of lighting in that place.
Super Friends?
Yeah, where it's, you know, it's just like a big chamber, but like
a tight
spotlight on like a very important book.
There's also the very opening of like the police siren, red light flashing as we follow the pipes through the house. Those tubes.
Yes.
That looks incredible. Mm-hmm. The guys, I'm not sure whose apartment it is at the end when she goes to meet up with the guys at their apartment. That looks great. Also, I do think the drama of just the fact that it is so constantly bright out adds to the unsettled, unseemliness, the creep factor.
Yeah, because it's hard to know like when it is because like they even talk about it. We're like, oh, it's nighttime, but it's just the sun's out.
Yes. I think that's very hard to make sunshine seem creepy. And I think they did it. It's iffy. What do you want? What do you think about Midsommar and dramatic lighting? What do you want to give it?
I think I'm gonna just go ahead and rock with a low 20 on this one.
20.
Because it's just you're right, John. It's so bright. It's the and I think that's kind of like the beauty of it is it's a horror movie that's so bright where most horror movies try and keep you in the dark. But because of that, it really isn't dramatic lighting. We're seeing everything as it comes, you know. But sorry to the lighting staff. I know there were actual
really
lighting
hard.
And worked hard. But I mean, if we're talking about like dramatic lighting in the sense of, you know, movie, you know, in the feel, you know, the feel you achieved it. But I think if in horror dramatic lighting, you know, in the exaggerated horror sense.
Sure. Giving it a 20, John, what do you want to give it?
I'm going to give it a 55 because I do feel like there was, I think the lighting was considered. I think that is definitely much a part of the story and all the creepiness of it, even though it was like a de facto, like, all right, sun's up,
guns out. I'm going to give it a 75 because I liked it that much. Giving it an average of 50.
All right.
Our next category, vibrato. How would you rate the vibrato of this movie?
So in addition to literal vibrato, we also mean like anytime they give you something extra, like any they take a moment, they give it a little more, they zhuzh it up and you like it. So anytime they do a little more, not just literal vocal vibrato. But it does have literal vibrato because there's all the chanting and singing.
The old man singing that deep.
Yeah.
Also the fact that this cult takes the time to like decorate the like dead people feels extra. Sure. Like they could have just thrown them in a pit, you know, but they took the care. They took presentation into
I agree. I think like the barn where everyone sleeps, like that's very, it's like so decorated, it's so painted, it's so kitschy and a lot. Right. But that's very vibrato.
I hate that the second story of the barn there's no like handrails. So I would be, how do you like keep from falling off that second story balcony? That seems terrifying.
Yeah. I also think like the old guy, like the fact like his like when he jumps, like the fact, like his, when we look at his leg that was like broken off and like twisted back, like that felt very vibrato to me. And just like, oh, it's like bad enough that he fell and didn't die. Let's do this to his leg. You know, like that to me, I was like, ooh, but I liked it.
Yes. John, you sick fuck.
Nasty boy.
Yep, that's right.
Also like the music, he also did this with Hereditary. It makes everything, especially at the end, like this is like in Hereditary, I know I wasn't supposed to, but it did feel like you felt cathartic. You felt if the music made everything feel like a victory, like but evil. Yeah. Like, and it's kind of the same with this one too. Everything it really crescendos at the end. Like so that felt very extra to me. So Iffy, what do you want to give Midsommar for vibrato?
Vibrato. Vibrato.
Vibrato.
I'd say a 70.
70.
Yeah, I could go, I'm going to go a little higher than that because I also think like, what's his name? Mark, like he was pretty vibrato.
Yeah.
In a way that was like fun. Like it was fun thinking he was a jerk. So I'm going to give it 85.
Ooh.
85. Pretty vibrato. The John, surprisingly high considering you hate this movie.
I don't hate this movie. Stop rewriting history.
I'm going to give it an 80. And it's crazy like how this movie and also Hereditary have like surprisingly like funny moments. Like they're like funny, but also this dread at the same time. It's such a weird tone.
Yeah.
All right, next category. There's only a few more left in the canon categories. Don't you worry. This one is footwork. How would you rate the footwork of Midsommar?
Oh, well, you know.
As we said, there's a lot. There's a ton of it.
The Maypole dance competition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got the May Queen dance competition. That's kind of the big one.
They were running around in chains a lot, like just walk, like running around.
Holding hands.
Also, those girls walking backwards as they picked up flowers. That was weird.
Also, that guy's fucked up leg, this fucked up foot, that was footwork.
Oh, yeah.
If that's not footwork, what is? Jumping off a cliff first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once Florence Pugh became like the May Queen, all those girls like pulled her in a carriage like they were horses.
That's right.
It's a lot of footwork there.
Yeah.
It's a lot of footwork in this movie.
Surprisingly, could it be a musical, John, you think?
I think it could, but wow.
Grim.
Pretty grim.
Well, you have how the people falling.
How do you maintain that tone with an intermission?
Yeah.
Well, that's when the people jump off the cliff. It's like the chandelier and Phantom, you know, the people jumping off the
very
cliff.
Slow.
They swing over the audience. Go
down. Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'll work on it.
It's definitely the turn where the choice.
That's it. It's every good act break right there. Yes. Yeah.
What do you think, Iffy, for footwork?
Oh, man. I mean, that May Queen scene, the choreography, the suspense, the excitement.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally intertwined with the plot. It's not just decoration.
Yeah. And that alone, I think, is going to boost it up, especially in comparison to most horror movies.
That's true.
Give it an 80.
80?
80, yeah.
Yeah, I will go, I'll go 86.
86. I'm also gonna go 80 because it is that Maypole dance. It's pretty amazing. And also she has to stand on that platform. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Did your guys' school do square dancing in elementary school? We had to learn square dancing.
Oh yeah. Mine's did not.
Yours did not?
No, I went to a school in Compton, California.
And they didn't do square dancing?
They weren't hyped about the square dancing.
Well, your loss. So maybe this next category will resonate more. Animal print. Well, there's the bear suit. Is that, do we consider that?
There's the bear
suit. Yeah, yeah.
There's also the suit.
Mm-hmm.
A guy wears. We did.
Man, the most dangerous animal. Yeah. Okay, sure.
We cannot
completely discount that.
Yeah, that he wore. There is a skin suit at one point in this movie.
If we counted it in Silence of the Lambs, we gotta count it in Midsommar. Sure. It's only fair.
Yes, thank you for keeping us honest, Mark. Thank you.
But beyond that, it's not a lot of animal print, surprisingly.
No. Which is too bad, because because they were wearing such like uniforms, if they had just woven it in a little bit, there would have been all over it.
Oh, yeah. Sure. So I think it's just those two. I guess leather.
Even those is it a print?
I mean, it is. What is a print? What is a print? I guess is a print a pattern? I don't know.
Yeah,
I would think so. I don't think it bullseye. Wearing a bear does not bullseye an animal print to me.
Is a fur coat an animal print?
Again, it's not a bullseye. It's something, but it's not a full like straight on.
It's not like a leopard print.
Right. Tuxedo. Leopard print blouse. Yes.
It's not tuxedo. Nicolas Cage's leather jacket cuff at the premiere of Color Out of Space. That's animal print. So I think we just got the bear suit and the Mark suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go 20.
20.
Yeah, I think I'm going to ride that 20 wave with you. 20.
Okay.
Riding that 20 wave.
I'm also going to give a 20.
Yeah.
And then this is the last of the canon category, Iffy. On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Midsommar to a gay person?
I think it's still going to be 100 for me.
Really?
It's still going to be 100. Yeah.
So if I told you, Iffy, I haven't seen Midsommar, you would say, you got to see it.
Yeah, I'd say, you got to check it out.
But I also haven't seen Yentl.
Oh.
See Midsommar? Well,
me either. Yeah, go see.
Oh, great. Double feature?
Yeah. Double.
100. Pretty great.
I mean, I agree. Like, I think it's great. I would recommend it to anyone. I would specifically recommend it to a gay person because of the male nudity. Okay. So, you know, because like it's the rare horror movie of like, but you get to see Jack Rayner, all of him. But it's not something where I'm like, girl, you've got to see Midsommar. So I'm going to give it a 90.
90, that's pretty good. I do think gays are like, because I do think we also, as gay men, are often the victim of toxic, you know, masculinity.
Sure.
And I think this is just a great cathartic takedown of toxic masculinity. So I think there's a lot to appeal to a gay person. So I'm going to give it a 90. Give it an average of 93.33, which is almost double what Mermaids has, 51.67. We put Mermaids in a bear suit and lit her on fire. All right, now we
really got a vendetta against Mermaids.
Well, it was the furthest away. That had a 51.67 and likely to recommend to gay people. All right, Iffy, now we're into the wheel category.
Right.
So these are all categories that previous guests have brought in that we put on the wheel. So we're going to spin it a couple times, and then that will dictate which category we judge this on.
So we're going to do four of these and then you add a category.
Okay.
And then it's the bonus category.
Ooh,
okay, right. Here we go. Rye smiles.
Well, ooh. I think her very last smile at the end of the movie is pretty wry.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. The most wry. Iconically wry.
An iconic wry.
I mean, it is like a meme. It's like a moment.
Yes. Yeah. Even though you hate that moment, it's essential to the movie, John. The director said he wrote this in the midst of like he had just gotten out of a breakup, so this is like
it was apparently movie. Originally it was just like a more standard classic horror movie, and then he went through a breakup and this happened. What she went through was so insane that there's a part of me that's like, we've really brushed through how insane this like family murder / sister suicide is, and then I don't know, I just sort of felt bad for him, I guess.
I did not feel bad.
Even though I also recognize that they did not
handle pretty much any moment correctly or well. Yeah. But I still don't think anything they did was so bad that he deserved to get burned alive.
Well, people killed by Jason suit. Just because they have sex don't deserve to die either, but we're fine with that. It's the same thing. But it's like, what is your fatal flaw? In a horror movie, everyone has their fatal flaw. And like his was,
I don't know,
was gaslighting his girlfriend. Probably one of the most traumatic events in her whole life.
Yeah, I'm going to go to a party. He says, you can come if you want. What the fuck? Don't go to the party. What are you thinking, you idiot? Iffy, what are you going to give Midsommar for Wry Smiles?
Oh, that one, I'm going to give a 90 for that Wry 90. Smile at the end.
I feel like the Swedish or wherever these people are, they love a Wry Smile. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give it an 87.
87. I'm going to go 88. Pretty right. I give an average of 88.33. All right. Next category. We're going to spin that wheel. Wry Smiles from Labyrinth, I think.
That is correct.
Or Labyrinth episode.
How Korean?
All right. How, on a scale of 0 to 100, how Korean would you say Midsommar is, Iffy?
Oh, I'm definitely... I'm definitely gonna go for 0.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, because you know they have barely black people in it, and they tried to kill them as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't know if it's as soon as possible. Oh, I guess they were the first ones, right?
Yeah,
the couple.
Yep,
Connie and I forget the guy's name. Yeah.
Connie and
he got flayed.
Christian and whatever. All right. Yeah, I have to go 0 as well.
Me too. Zeros across the board. For shame, Midsommar.
Sorry.
That's from our Parasite episode with Peter Kim.
Bold lip.
A bold lip. Did we clock any bold lips? I mean, it's people are outside.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say no bold lips.
No, it's pretty muted makeup palette overall.
Yeah. A lot of a nude lip.
Yes, we could say. Oh, yeah. Let the lip speak for itself, as it were.
But is there something to the bold lip of Christians being in the bear? I know the mouth was over his head. The bear had a bear has bold lips.
Do they have lips?
Yeah. What do you call those? Do dogs have lips?
Dogs like have flaps. They have over mouths. Their gums. But I wouldn't call them lips.
That's a deep question.
Got some
So bold lip.
I don't know. Yeah. I didn't clock any.
I'll give it 5 for the bear.
5 for the bear, which is the same thing you say last time we went to the Eagle.
Mm-hmm. And that bartender paid attention to us the rest of that night. See, I was right.
I'm also going to give it I'll give it a 5 as well for the bear. Iffy, what do you want to give Midsommar for a bold lip?
I'm gonna have to give it a 0.
0, tough but fair. All right, this is the last of the wheel categories.
Yeah.
Real bodies.
How is this movie for representing real bodies?
I mean, you got that circle of women. God.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That was definitely an all titties matter situation. Like they didn't, you know, they didn't just try and prop up the best, you know, most accepted titties in Hollywood. These were titties of all ages. I was real blown away. Real blown away.
That does seem to be one of Ari Aster's tropes, because in the end of Hereditary, there's a lot of naked people, you know, real bodies as well too.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just trying to show
this is reality, man.
Yeah, this is it. You want to look away? This is the real world. These are real titties.
No.
Open your eyes to the real ones.
I mean, I guess who are the people who would be offended by that? Only like supermodels or people who never see that kind of thing. I see a real body every time I get out of the shower. This is not shocking to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what would we give real Midsommar for real bodies? I mean, just the sheer number of them alone.
Yeah, I'd say, straight up a hundo for me.
100.
I'm going to go 95 because what's his name's body is not
Jack Rayner kind of takes
Jack Rayner, yeah. But what a way to ding a category.
I mean, I'm also going to give it 100 because I think just the sheer amount of them. All right, Iffy, the time has come for you to add a category that we could use to judge Midsommar and every other movie afterwards to judge how gay they are.
All right. I would say, even though musicals are for everyone.
It's true.
Yeah.
I will say, potential for musical. That is going to be my
musical potential.
Okay.
Musical potential.
Potential.
Yeah. I think that's fun.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
So what would you give Midsommar?
Oh, I'd say I'd give it a nice 85 for the
85
for the May Queen scene. I think an opening number doing the prologue would just be a nice song and dance. Mm-hmm. I think all of the screams, all the scenes where they are mocking like the kind of panic attack post sex scene, that would be a beautiful dance number. The dance number at the end as the hut burns, yes. You know, all of that.
Sure. You could do, if I was still writing sketches, you could do like a real fun, like Belle from Beauty and the Beast parody walking through the commune, you know?
Yeah.
Sure.
There goes the lady with her big white hammer, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of, it writes itself.
Oh, why are you still writing sketch comedy?
You know, it doesn't exist anymore.
True.
So, John, what would you give Midsommar? Also, would you consider an opera under that? Because, you know, maybe this is better for opera, maybe?
I was thinking it could be an opera. Yeah, I mean, it can get fuzzy because you have through-sung musicals. I think it could work as an opera. I also think it could work as, like, a modern dance piece. I think there's a lot of, like,
sure,
musical potential. So I'm going to say, and actually maybe that might get us more, like, sometimes what you can do with a musical, you can just flesh out what's going on inside a character's mind. So that might be helpful in some cases. So I'm going to rate it, say 92.
I'm going to split the difference and do 88. We're going to average of 88.33. I think this would be a fun, also could just be set at the commune. Musicals love a single location, do they not?
Some do.
West Side Story, it's all at the West Side. I don't know if that's true.
That is not true.
Okay. All right, Iffy, now we are into the bonus categories.
Oh, yeah.
So these we're all going to rate on a scale of 0 to 10. And so these are just bonus. So if you give it a 0, it's not going to get penalized in the long run. It's just bonus extra.
Got it.
Don't worry. We are more than halfway done. Don't you worry.
Don't worry.
No, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm just getting more info.
Okay, great. All right. So the first one, makeover montage. How would you rate Midsommar in terms of a makeover montage?
Oh, that's going to be an 8 for Danny, her May Queen glow up.
I have started thinking about this category. Maybe I've been thinking like, maybe I've been too hard on them. Maybe I should start splitting the difference of like, there's makeovers, but there's also montage. But so it's not necessarily 0, but she definitely does get a glow up, as you said.
Yeah.
So a makeover does happen. Not so much a montage. There is a montage in the director's cut where she's driving in the car with the guys and they're all just saying the most like gross, talking about women in the most disgusting ways. Oh, so that part's okay. Really fun. and her montage is she falls asleep, her makeover. So if you're giving an 8.5, did you say?
Yeah, I'd say 8.5.
Oh, okay.
I'll give that.
I'll give it a 2 for that.
2. I think I'm also going to give it a 2 just because it is a makeover, but I don't think it was done in a montage. All right, our next category, cheerworthy cameos. Was there any cameo where you said, hey, mm-hmm. There's the only thing I know of, you do when Danny is crowned the May Queen and she's raised up onto that platform, there's an image of the sister in the trees behind her.
Right.
Where you see like her eyes with the tube attached. It's really unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
So that one is one where you go like, hey, there's the sister in the trees with the tube taped to her mouth.
But we've seen her earlier, so that's 2 scenes, so she would technically not be a cameo anymore.
But I don't think it's nice. I'm not saying it's a 10, but it's something, I think. Like she cameos gotcha. Later, you know what I mean?
Okay, sure. Here's what I wrote. No, there weren't, but I did keep thinking I was seeing David Spade.
Sure.
Who was like, David? Whenever there was like a crowd scene, I just thought like one of those guys was David Spade for some reason.
Makes sense.
That was as close as I got to a cheerworthy cameo.
And you cheered every time you thought you saw David Spade?
I didn't. Again, it's not a 10. I just went, hey, is that? But how funny would it be if he just was randomly an extra in this movie?
Very funny.
Hilarious.
Also, something cameo-ish about that opening all the murals. Like, there's another mural that shows how, like, the love potion works. Mm-hmm. Like, the camera passes by, like, a tapestry that's being hung out to dry.
Yeah, I'm coming back up for air because, of course, this whole time we've been talking, there's a Midsommar subreddit, and apparently there's a scene. So do y'all want to know how Connie died, even though they never show it in the movie?
Sure.
Apparently it's a deleted scene where Connie and Danny, you're shaking, so you knew this
already. It was
already
in the director's cut.
I see, so you saw the director's cut, you fancy ass. Okay, so yeah. Did you see it, John?
I did not see the director's cut. Okay,
so it's only Mark who's being fancy on us. Yeah, there was a scene where I guess they're going to drown a child, and Danny was the one who was like, no, and Connie was kind of frozen in fear, and that was part of the ritual, apparently, to stop them from drowning the child. So when you see Connie's dead, she's like wet and wearing like the same kind of mail that would have held the child down, meaning that she probably took the place of the child.
Yeah.
So weird. What did she do that was so wrong that she needed to be killed?
They need to kill 9 people. That's like the festival. Yeah.
There were the 4 of them were going to die no matter what.
4 and strangers, and then like,
yeah. When you do the math, so you got the friend.
Right. But you're saying that like people needed everyone. We need to be glad that they're killed or that they die.
No, it seems like they find some type of way to kill them, but they're going to die either way. there's no like way. Like, one of the questions on the form was like, why did they do the blood eagle to Simon, who didn't do anything, instead of Mark, who pissed on the ancestral thing? And that's how I found out it was real. I'm like, y'all are so deep in this movie. Like,
oh yeah,
like it's because, you know, like if you use Reddit, it's usually for a whole subculture. Like, there's horror subreddits, film, Gunpla. For like, it seems so narrow to do it for a specific movie that isn't a franchise. Like,
right,
like that's so much effort. Like, you're gonna be grasping at straws. They're already in 2020, just begging for content. Someone posted a TikTok of someone referencing Midsommar. I'm like, oh, we're getting to the bottom of the barrel, are we?
I do think this movie is like an iconic horror movie. You know what I mean? I think it's like
a cult classic, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's all because the boyfriend dies at the end, and we love that, right, John?
Yeah, I'm so we'll curious, see. But I do have like questions, because if you think about it, okay, the brother, his brother brought 2 people. And then
Pele.
Yeah. Pele brought Christian, Josh, Mark, and then Danny accidentally, but he was going to bring 3.
Yes.
That means that between him and his brother, they would have brought 5 outsiders.
Yes.
So what was the plan there?
Well, cause those 2 guys volunteer also.
Which one?
The 2 guys in their gold robes, like when they take the drugs, like you will feel no pain.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Those are the 4 communes. So they said they needed to do 4 outsiders, because they said for the sacrifice they needed 4. I think I know what it is now, because they said for the it was a setup all along. Watch. So they get 4 outsiders. Uh-huh. 4, and it has to be 4 people from the village.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get and then the May Queen votes for 1. So that means that extra 1 was probably just a backup, so the May Queen can vote for another outsider, like a pure asshole.
Right. Well, if we're going to sacrifice people, might as well start with the outsiders.
Yeah. Or in this case, the May Queen might have just been like, oh, we're going to save Christian because his girlfriend isn't here, and we used him for his sperm, and we're going to kill Todd because he's weird.
Right? You got to kill weird Todd.
Or if someone else was the May Queen, maybe they could have, what's her name? Danny could have been the one, the sacrifice. Yeah.
So, Iffy, what do you want to give Midsommar for cheerworthy cameos?
Oh, man. Cheerworthy cameo. I'm going to say a 0.
0.
Yeah, there wasn't anyone, you know, like maybe if, you know, Donald, you know, Danny Glover popped out of the hut and was like, imagine? I'm in the wrong place.
I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah, yeah. Or he says that before he jumps his death.
Off. Yeah,
right. Getting too old for this shit. Bye.
John, what do you
think? I'll give it a 0.5 for
0.5.
For continually thinking I'm seeing David Spade.
Oops. I'm going to give it a 3 for The Sister in the Trees.
All right.
Look it up. It's creepy. All right. Our next category, pool trouble. Mm. Well, the one girl was apparently drowned. Connie in that wheelbarrow looking bloated, implying she had drowned.
Okay.
That's something.
That's something. Yeah.
But beyond, there's not a lot of pools in this movie.
No.
Yeah. Not a lot of pools.
They don't seem to have a gym at this commune.
No.
And what's the toilet situation?
Prancing. They don't need to.
Yeah.
How do they bleach their clothes?
I know. They definitely get it very white.
So what would we give this for pool trouble? I will give it a 2.
A 2?
A 2. For what? For Connie being bloated. She was drowned.
We don't see it. I'll give it a 1.
It implies there was a...
Okay. Yeah.
The implication of pool trouble. Sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with a 0. I'm gonna go 0.
A 0. Right. Tough but fair. You're consistent. All right, Mike, make up some points with this category. Witches. How witchy is Midsommar?
Ooh, it's good.
Pretty witchy.
Pretty damn witchy.
Yeah.
It's almost all a lot of, like, if Glinda the Good Witch was, like, really fucked up or strict.
Yeah, like definitely. Yeah, like new agey.
But there's like the fact that like the coveny of the women are there to for her to get impregnated. Yes. They use a lot of mortar and pestle, which is very witchy.
Yes.
And I think like just like what's her name, Maha, just like trying to get like use her to cast a spell and like make a trigger stuff that's very witchy.
Yeah.
Also, just when someone's body is displayed with trees out of the arms feels witchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, burning at the stake.
It's just burning at the, that's happened. The OG witch.
The OG witch thing.
The OG witch thing. So what do you want to give this for witchy iffy?
I'd give it an 8 because it's definitely like I'd say more like grounded witch stuff where like I could see this being a real witchy cult that you know maybe aren't doing spells but definitely are murdering.
Cult seems better than the Nexium cult though. Like if you had to choose which one to be in, you gotta go with the Nexium.
Oh yeah, because especially there is a period in time in which you're gonna jump off a cliff before you have to worry about this at all.
Yeah. Right?
You know, like you get there in there.
John, what do you want to give it for witch?
I'm gonna go 9 for witches.
9. I'm gonna go 10 for witches. I think it's pretty witchy. Give an average of 9, which is the highest in this category.
Yeah.
All right. Next category. This one might be tough. Gay actors playing gay roles.
Mm.
Well, there are no gay roles. We don't know. Yes. Yeah,
so
I think we got to go 0.
0. If you find, was it, are you giving it a 0?
Oh, yeah. I'm straight up 0. You know I'm straight
up. I appreciate that. All right. This next category. Themes of mothers. Well, there's a big maternal.
Ooh, yeah. I was going to say, that's the almost overall.
Anytime you have fertility involved seems very mothery.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of caretaking happening in this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of emotional validation. Seeing your mother. She sees her. Oh, there's also the chair where they came in when she sees her dead mother walking right by her after she's found the May Queen. That's kind of a cameo, huh?
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
I think this is very, I'm trying to think of another, I'm sure there are other horror movies that deal with mothers. Mm-hmm. There's Mother.
I think that, yeah, the Nightmare on Elm Street ones, I think, do with it more. This one, I feel like it's like the cult is maternal, but there's not really a lot about like, this is what it is to be a mother. You know what I mean? Like motherhood itself doesn't seem to be a big theme in and of itself with the characters.
Sure. But in
I can
see
that.
I don't know. I think the whole thing about fertility and like life cycles and I don't know, the energy of the, and their rituals seem very, you know, about placing motherhood front and center. And there's also the scene where we see the woman get impregnated.
Right.
That's a whole thing.
That's true.
That's a whole thing.
With a butt toucher. You're right. There's a whole lot of themes of mother going on here.
Iffy, what would you give this for themes of mothers on 0 to 10?
I'd give it a 4 because it's true. It's more sisterhood than motherhood, but I do think Siv plays this nice mother role throughout the whole film.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
For sure.
Yeah. You've convinced me. I'm bumping it up to 3.
John, I'm going to go 5. Give her an average of 4. All right, next category, dramatic smoking. Well, there's the gas scene at the very beginning where Terry kills her parents through dramatic. That's very dramatic smoking.
Sure.
The most dramatic.
The most.
Mark vapes a lot.
That is true.
And then, I mean, like, there's people are set on fire, so there's smoke coming off of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is one of the first movies. I can't recall, like, a character vaping a movie and using in a movie, like, how people really vape.
Yeah. Right?
Like I can't think of another movie where I saw someone vaping. I never saw Blockers. So maybe it happens in that. I don't know. But this, I thought this is, like, a good vaping. Like, this is the kind of guy who's a vapor.
Yeah.
Right.
Big vape energy.
Big vape energy. Iffy, what do you think about dramatic smoking at Midsommar?
Yeah, it would have been low. You brought up that vape, and that is true.
It does reveal character. So I'm gonna have to
bump the thing up. It's gonna be a 7 for me.
A 7. Wow.
I'm gonna give it a 2 for dramatic smoking.
2. Yeah. I'm also gonna give it a 7. Exhaust.
Whoa. Okay.
All right, and this is the last of the bonus categories. Quips. How quippy is Midsommar? There's some jokes.
Sure. I wouldn't say it's not like a very quippy, like it's not very quotable as a movie, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah, then there aren't any big zingers.
No. It's funny, but it's more funny in like how the character's naturally funny, and it doesn't feel like not in Adam's Family Values territory.
No,
here. Yeah.
There's that hair pie joke, but that's kind of distasteful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Iffy, you're a funny guy. What do you think about Midsommar for quips?
Oh, it's a 0 for me.
A 0.
Yeah, big 0.
I'll go 0 as well, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it 1 for the toxic masculinity. Jokes. All right, now we are into the iconic categories. There are 3 of these. These are kind of like umbrella overarching categories that kind of all the previous categories kind of live under these umbrellas. So these are more broader categories. And we're going to go back to 0 to 100 just to make things even more complicated. So if you're on a scale of 0 to 100, what would you give Midsommar in homoeroticism?
Ooh. I think that's going to be a 1 for me.
A 1.
Yeah,
what do you
get
out of 100?
Oh, out of 100?
Yeah.
1. you know, because if it was flipped around and the way the sisterhood was being portrayed as brotherhood, oh, we would have been hitting hundreds of levels. But it really does. Like, I think this is a very heavily woman-led movie, and what they're kind of going through, and the dudes are kind of there being dicks and being mad that they're accidentally eating pubes.
Because I guess it's like, that's interesting, because it's like, it wouldn't be it's not unusual to see women band together and support each other on like really intimate level. But when men do it, everyone's like, whoa, no homo.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah, bro, come on, bro, back that bro.
Right, where's that cult?
Let my brain eat itself from the inside over here, okay? Don't ask how I'm doing, bro.
Exactly.
Wait till I'm ready to jump off a ledge, bro. Come on. Yeah.
So not very homoerotic.
Yeah, not at all.
John,
not even
what are you
trying to push it.
No, it's not. But again, I've got to give it some points for the end. So I'll give it a 10.
A 10. Ooh. For Jack Raynor going full frontal.
The full Raynor?
I don't know. He's in a Transformers movie. I'm going to give it a 5 in homoerotic. Give an average of 5.33, which is 1 point lower than Silence of the Lambs. Oh. All right. Our next of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is Midsommar, Iffy?
I mean, they are at a camp.
There it is. Yeah, a camp. That's true.
I mean, that dance scene really starts to push the limits of camp, I feel like, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
all those flowers.
Yeah, the flowers and the dancing, you start to push that limit. But I think overall, and this is 1 out of 100?
Yes.
Correct.
For 0 out of 100.
I would go 20 for camp.
20
for camp.
Yeah, it's not very campy. Yeah. It's pretty like...
Yeah, like if anything, I'm giving it, it votes for camp potential, but in itself, yeah, not very campy.
I mean, yeah, because even like the gore, it's again, like it's a little over the top in moments, like, but not a whole lot. But you know what I mean? Like the leg and like the fact mm-hmm. that they like hit him more than once after with that mallet and the skull. Right. Yeah, I think I'm going to go 18.
18. Well, I wrote up a list of campy things I noticed in this, so here we go.
Ooh, I like that.
Saying I love you in the most noncommittal way possible. Freaking out over it being sunny at 9 p.m. A movie showing you what it looks like to take mushrooms. Making your guests sit in a highly stylized seating arrangements. A shitty boyfriend forgetting his girlfriend's birthday and their four-year anniversary. Nonchalantly addressing the bear you keep in a cage. A foreshadowing mural. Sharing a room with a baby. Vaping. Duetting with your wife at dinner before performing a ritual. Double suicide, watching a ritual double suicide and deciding to continue your vacation, being more upset about your buddy stealing your thesis than the fact that you all just saw a ritual double suicide, being mad that you slept through the ritual double suicide, dream sequences, pissing on an ancestral tree, winning the dance competition against all the other girls and becoming May Queen, catching your boyfriend participating in a ritualistic sex musical moment and having your emotions validated, being a little weirded out by the woman pushing on your ass during a ritualistic sex musical moment, murdering someone but taking the time to display their body really beautifully, the fun bingo machine that decides who gets to take the opportunity to sacrifice themselves, being forced to watch them make the bear suit you're going to die in, and finally thriving once your shitty boyfriend is out of your life.
Wow.
So I think it's a little camp, which is part of the fun of this movie, that it does have these like right. weird
moments
out of- there moments, but then also real true you know primal mm-hmm. dread.
So with that being said, what would you rate it for a camp? Now I'm curious.
I'm going to give it a 40. I've seen campier.
I thought it would be a little higher after all of that. But, you know.
I make these lists every week, Iffy. This is new. All right. Finally, in the iconic categories, on a scale of 0 to 100, over-the-top wardrobe.
I mean, their wardrobe outside of the commune is pretty normal.
Yes.
And then I think at the commune,
I mean, the bear suit is over like the top.
The bear the suit, the flower mask, dress at the end, the
gold robes.
Sure.
The one grandmother's hat.
There's a lot of like vests and like a lot of like layers and stuff.
But breathable.
Exactly.
It looked like linen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of over the top looks in here. Iffy, what do you think?
Oh man, yeah. We got a literal gutted bear as a suit. We got a flower crown that is not just, you know, a flower crown you'd see at Coachella, but a mountain of flowers laid atop a human's head connecting to a chair. You got those weird, dainty Danish white suits that are forced to be matching with all the other women in the commune. What else we got? Yeah, I think it all starts and ends with the commune. And once you get one commune outfit, it's all in there. I mean, the fellas, I will say the high waist, long sleeve, short top combo, that's real nice.
So you were inspired, you would say.
Yeah, I definitely feel inspired. You know, definitely feel inspired. Maybe crop that whole top open.
Okay, let it breathe. All yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe get like a necklace or something.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So what would you give this for 0 to 100 for over-the-top wardrobe?
I would say a 45.
Yeah, that sounds good to me because there's not a whole lot, but I'm going to go 55.
55. Ooh. I'm going to go 70 because you have a man in a bear suit.
Okay.
I've never seen that before.
Never?
Never. Mm-hmm. Give an average of 56.67, which is almost 2 points less than Mermaids. This is devastating. All right. All right. Finally, if we were into the crown jewels, these are the last two categories.
And these, so these are ones we agree on completely. So it's all yes or no. There's no scale at all. So we all say yes or no.
Okay.
So the first one, a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
I think we have to go no.
Yeah, I think we have to go no because there isn't any. You know?
Exactly. This is Erasure, and I don't mean the band.
No.
All right. Finally, this is our very last category. Negative 50% if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so we'll not be penalized 50% of its points.
All right. So we are at the end. If he, how do you think we did? How do you think Midsommar ranked?
If you had to guess. I think this is going to be one of the lower ranking films.
Okay.
That's my guess. It's going to be it's going to be a lower ranking joint.
Well, I can tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,442.81 points, Midsommar has scored 1,509.81 points, giving it an average of 61.81%, making it the 26th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Adam's Family Values, but gayer than Mermaids.
Hey! Well, look at that. Look at that. Wow. Look how far we've come.
I Wow.
That's sort of the perfect place for it.
That's, you know, I think that is kind of where this lives.
Yeah, it fits perfectly. We did it. The science you have behind these rankings, got to say, unmatched.
Thank you. No one else is ranking other movies on how gay they are. To this detail, I don't
think. Yeah.
If they are, we should sue them. Well, Iffy, that's it. We're done. Thank you so much for doing this.
Ooh, okay. Well, thanks for having me. I'm super,
it's a movie I love. And right. John hates.
So happy. That is not true. Stop creating this false narrative.
Iffy, is there any,
it's a great movie.
Is there anything you like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Oh, well, you could just follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Iffy Whiteyway. If you enjoy movies, if you enjoyed, you know, the thought of coming at movies from a different light, I would say check out my podcast Who Shot You, where we go over all movies and, you know, different voices. Me, I'm a black dude, Drea, you know, Midwestern white woman, Alonzo, esteemed gay film critic. So, you know, it's like the Avengers of good takes, because it's not just a bunch of white dudes in a room like most movie podcasts. You know?
Well, I hate to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. White straight dudes for posterity.
Thank you. Putting me on blast.
Yeah. But yeah, check that out. It's fun, it's good stuff, and anything I'm doing you can keep track of just by following me on any of my socials.
Wonderful. And we'll be right back.
We're back.
What a fun time. I do think Midsommar. I think a lot of gay people like Midsommar. Am I crazy?
I don't think so. I think it's a great movie. I like it myself. I really wish that's you would not stop
what
saying
I think
people.
It's true. Yeah.
What do you think? What do you recall me not liking about it?
That the boyfriend dies in the end. Which is
yes.
And like that's I just the whole feel movie. Like, that's the point of the movie. That's the whole what would it be?
What I disagree.
That?
I think it's fine that he died, but to me, I was just like, I just took issue with the fact that, like, oh good, he got what he deserved. I just felt like I don't know. To me, it was just like, I don't
but
think
it's a movie. It's bigger than, you know what I mean? It's like the stakes are higher. It's bigger. It's, you know what I mean? Okay. Did every stormtrooper on the Death Star deserve to die? But it's a movie, you know?
All right.
I don't know.
You know what? It's hard to argue with this, Mark.
To me, it's, I don't know. Cause I also thought he was like so shitty. He sucked. He had like no redeeming features. He's just like such a, she was
he
like,
sucked. I guess I also thought she was just like annoying. And again, I think like what happened to her family was so crazy that to me, I almost felt like
murder suicides are a thing. Not so stylistically done though.
Well, yes, not with such panache.
She had a lot of panache.
But to me, I just felt like that was so insane. Like part of me was just, was not on her side when she was like, yeah, I'm going on this trip with you. It was like, no, you should not be going on this trip, especially since it was supposed to be a long trip. Like she should have, I don't know.
But she's like gone through a crazy trauma. She's looking for any sort of connection she can get. In the very beginning of the movie, you see her like going through her phone, like it says something like could not connect, disconnected, just did not connect. She's looking for a connection this whole time. And she's well, not
that was
getting
to her
it.
Sister. Yeah.
I know, but like on her phone, it's like all these messages, like outgoing calls, or it says like disconnected, no connection. So like her thing is like, if her parents hadn't been killed on such like an operatic level, it kind of makes it of a piece the rest of the movie. You know, like this is the world we're in, that there are big outcomes to like, you know, repress.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I get that. I guess just, there's a part of me that just still felt like she shouldn't have gone and she should have known better.
But she did. I mean, people make poor choices sometimes.
Gotcha. Like, but to me, it's still we're still so far away from like, good, that jerk got it.
I mean, I guess like I wouldn't have done it, but I see why she did it. You know what I mean? Also, she was like drugged too. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, fuck.
Sure, sure. Guy. Yeah, I guess so.
So there we are.
There we go. But I still think it's a great movie. I loved watching it. It was really fun. I thought it was very smart too. Like, you know, like everything, like watching it again and knowing what happens to certain people. Like there was it was that thing of like, oh, this all holds up and this makes sense. And
yeah, I just wish you liked it.
I do like it.
Speaking of things we like, John.
Oh yes, we like it when we hear from you guys. And we got an email from one of our listeners who we like very much. And it is from Cheryl and it's titled Podcast. And Cheryl says, ladies, I just discovered your podcast. Listen to the John Waters episode. So glad I found you. Took me back to the days when I could hit the clubs with the girls back in the late 70s, early 80s. I've been a huge John Waters Divine fan since our first movie together. So I really appreciate your episode. Have you done Rocky Horror yet or considered it? Great podcast. And I look forward to more. Well, thank you, Cheryl. That's
I
sweet.
Wish I could go to the clubs with the girls in the late 70s and 80s. Nice? That sounds like a dream. We haven't done Rocky Horror.
No one has brought it in yet, but who knows?
Have you seen Rocky Horror, John?
Of course. Yes, I have seen Rocky Horror. Have you seen it?
I've seen it once and it wasn't in like the theater setting.
Oh, so you saw it like on VH1 or something?
On VH1. Mm-hmm. Lots of commercials.
They showed it for a long time.
It took them 5 hours to air the whole thing. But that'd be a fun one to do. I don't know if we'd be doing it justice just watching it at home. You know what I mean? Because it is such like the communal experience.
I agree.
But it's probably worthwhile. I like the song Time Warp. And science fiction double feature. They're on my Halloween mixes.
Sure. It's a great score. Delightful musical.
Yeah, I hope someone does bring it. Maybe we don't know what we're doing next week, so maybe someone will bring it
Who knows? Maybe someone will bring a Rocky Horror.
Sorry. We know it's gonna be this has been one of five cold screams. One of five, five cold screams. So we have four more to come.
Four more to come. Yes, if you guys want to email us, you can do so at twooldqueens. That's twooldqueens@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, TWO Old Queens. Follow me on Letterboxd where I update the rankings and you see who the guests were and where the movies are currently ranked. We also got a TeePublic store. You can get some merch.
Get some stuff for Halloween. The holidays coming up.
The holidays. Get your gift giving. Get your mother Eat Shit Funny Girl shirt.
Yeah, your dad, you are not the movie cruising tank top. Perfect.
Yes, Daddy. And also, if we got a Patreon.
We got a Patreon.
To acquaint to retirement plan.
We're talking about Nightmare on Elm Street movies, looking at those, trying to figure out what's the gayest one of all of those. So get on board for that.
There's a lot happening in the Two Old Queens castle Verse. Kingdom.
Yeah.
Oh. All of it. So, that's it. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye. Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Archer and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Bye. We didn't get that right.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.